Okay, let's get started. Okay, remember this sheet is due on Friday.
Journal articles are supposed to be read by Friday.
You've only had about 3 months to do it, so.
What?
So you're supposed to put your date, the date on there when you read them. Okay, and also if you've done any extra credit reading, that has to be turned in by the 18th. If you've done any extra credit reading, that has to be turned in by the 18th. And we're a little bit behind in this class, so next Wednesday, next week is the week there's no chapels, so we can make up classes. So next Wednesday, we'll just stay in here. Okay. All right, we are on page 45 in the notes. Okay, I believe we left off with number 4 on page 45. We're in Genesis 30, and we're going to pick up with verse 14. Now in the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field and brought them into his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, lost my text.
Is that a bucket?
What?
Is that a bucket?
A bucket?
It
does look like a bucket.
Yeah, no, somebody took a picture of a bucket and posted it online. It was saying that it was like a planet. Is that a bucket? Like a bucket out of water.
I have no idea what you're looking at.
It's like the inside of a bucket.
That's not a planet. That's a bucket.
Oh, you mean, I have no idea.
I'm sorry. It's definitely.
Okay. Now we're back. Okay, Genesis 30:14. Now in the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went and found, who's Reuben anyway? He's the firstborn. Okay. Went and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter for you to take my husband? And would you take my son's mandrakes also?" So Rachel said, "Therefore, he may lie with," this is such gross stuff, really. "He may lie with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." When Jacob came in from the field in the evening, then Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he lay with her that night. God gave heed to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, "God has given me my wages, because I gave my maid to my husband." So she named him Issachar, which means wages. Leah conceived again and bore a sixth son to Jacob. Then Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good gift. Now my husband will dwell with me." Notice again, she just thinks, I've had borne him all these kids. Now he's going to like me better than Rachel. Because I've borne him six sons, so she named him Zebulun. Afterward, she bore a daughter named Adinah. Then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her and opened her womb. So she conceived and bore a son, and she said, "God has taken away my reproach." So she named him Joseph, saying, and Joseph means add. So may the Lord give me another son. So she's saying, she names Joseph in such a way that it's expressing a desire for another one. Okay, so number four, the bargain of the mandrakes. Mandrakes were thought to stimulate sensual desire and aid conception. That's why Rachel wants the mandrakes. See? But in a sense, it kind of backfired. So Rachel's plan backfires, and Leah conceives instead and has another son, Issachar, which means reward or wages. Number five is the birth of Leah's sixth son and only daughter. A Zebulun still expresses hope of recognition by Jacob. Zebulun has the double significance of dowry or gift as well as dwelling. Thus Leah's hopes never leave her, but they do not bring a response in Jacob. So she's always naming these kids, this whole thing. The names of these kids has to do with this contest, in essence, that's going on for the husband's affection. Okay. So it's really kind of a whole sad situation. And then B, under number five, Dinah probably means something similar to Dan. And perhaps now Leah feels vindicated with all her children. So Dan and Dinah both evidently have something to do with being vindicated. And then number six is God remembers Rachel. A, God gave heed may indicate that Rachel prayed. It says, then God remembered Rachel and gave heed to her and opened her womb. B, Joseph, Ad, expresses a prayer that God would give her another son. And then the last part of this chapter, M, God blesses Jacob. God blesses Jacob. Now it came about when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you and let me depart, for you yourself know my service which I have rendered you. But Laban said to him, if now it pleases you, stay with me. I have divined that the Lord has blessed me on your account. He continued, name me your wages and I will give it. But he said to him, you yourself know how I have served you and how your cattle have fared with me. For you had little before I came and it has increased to a multitude. And the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also? So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this one thing for me, I will again pasture and keep your flock. Let me pass through your entire flock today, removing from there every speckled and spotted sheep and every black one among the lambs and the spotted and the speckled among the goats. And such shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later. When you come concerning my wages, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, will be considered stolen. Laban said, good, let it be according to your word. And then he goes out of his, he just tries to manipulate the situation so it'll be totally in his favor.
Did he not just steal all those speckled and spotted sheep? Or moving them so Jacob couldn't get them?
Well, in essence, but he hasn't, so that what they're really talking about is the offspring, the new offspring. Well, that's what he takes them all away to make it, more and more difficult for the offspring that Jacob, agreed to take. He takes all these others that would produce those things away so it won't happen, basically. So he, verse 35 says, so he removed on that day the striped and spotted male goats and all the speckled and spotted female goats, every one with white in it, and all the black ones among the sheep, and gave them into the care of his sons. And he put a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Then Jacob, and this is kind of a weird thing, But later, he attributes his blessing, that God blessed him, not what he does here. Then Jacob took fresh rods of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white stripes in them, exposing the white which was in the rods. He set the rods which he had peeled in front of the flocks in the gutters, even in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, and they mated when they came to drink. So the flocks mated by the rods, and the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban, and he put his own herds apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Moreover, whenever the stronger, so he's using selective breeding as well, excuse me. Moreover, whenever the stronger of the flock were mating, Jacob would place the rods in the side of the flock in the gutters so they might mate by the rods. But when the flock was feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. So the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. So he really prospers from what he does here. So under M, God blesses Jacob. One, Jacob's request to turn to Canaan after 14 years of serving Laban. And then two is Laban's request to stay for pay. And then Jacob's bargain to stay is number three. H.C. Leopold states, Leopold perceives Jacob's proposal as a definite act of faith. The plan suggested puts the possibility of acquiring wealth entirely in the providence of God. Jacob does not know whether it will please God to have him acquire wealth. If he is to acquire wealth according to God's will, the Almighty dispenser of events must grant it. This was a fine act of faith on Jacob's part. He cast himself wholly upon God's mercy. And then top of page 46, yes.
Under 6, A, in the notes says, gave head may indicate that Rachel, and I didn't get that blank. Is that supposed to be God heard? Gave heed.
Heed, it should be heed. H-E-E-D.
Okay. That's prayed. Is that blank prayed?
That Rachel prayed, yeah. It says God gave heed to Rachel, so it implies she must have prayed. Anybody else? Yes.
What was 2 under M?
2 under M is pay, P-A-Y. Pay. Laban's request to stay for pay. Yes, Devin? B is Dinah. Anyone else? Joseph. Sam? Or Sean?
6.
6 is remembers. Anyone else? Okay. So top of page 46, number 4, was Laban's agreement and ploy of separation. So he makes it as difficult as he can for Jacob to prosper.
What's that
like? Separation. Number 5 is Jacob's recourse and blessing. So there's a quote there from the Net Bible. It says, he put branches in front of the flocks when they came to drink. It was generally believed that placing such visual aids before the animals as they were mating, it was possible to influence the appearance of their offspring. E.A. Spicer notes that Jacob finds a way to outwit his father-in-law through prenatal conditioning of the flock by visual aids in conformance with universal folk beliefs. Nevertheless, in spite of Jacob's efforts at animal husbandry, he still attributes the resulting success to God. And we'll see that in chapter 31, verse 5.
Mr. Rexler?
Yes.
Can I offer a different suggestion to that one? God continues to bless Jacob even though he supposedly cheats or uses witchcraft type things. They're still using certain plants today where they expose the sap and the bark to the water trough, and it works as a fertility type drug for sheep and goats.
Yeah, but that's a little different here than actually affecting the color, right?
No. He would be encouraging the strong to defeat, not encouraging the strong to bear colored goats. Does that make sense?
God did color. God took care of the coloring.
He was trying. He was passively trying to increase Laban's flock, such as he said he would.
But I take it the reason he puts these different colors of things there because he thinks it's going to affect the color of the offspring.
Verse 39.
Yeah, it says, so the flocks mated by the rods and the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. So, and to me that's, he's superstitious, but he's adopting something from the culture in which he grew up in. But then in the final analysis, he attributes the way that things work out to God's blessing. So, the text doesn't really make a big judgment about it.
The text actually states later on in the next chapter, he's leaving for Canaan, that he tells his wives that this is a dream of God gave him to do that.
Yeah.
So it's not magic, it's actually God telling him to do that.
We'll wait until we get there. Okay. I'm not sure it's talking about that specifically, I guess is what I'm saying. Okay, chapter 31, verse 1. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belonged to our father, he has made all this wealth. Jacob saw the attitude of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. So notice the Lord tells Jacob it's time to go as well. But he also sees things aren't looking too good here with Laban and his sons. But then the Lord tells him it's time to go back to the promised land. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field and said to them, I see your father's attitude that it is not friendly toward me as formerly, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. However, God did not allow him to hurt me. If he spoke thus, the speckled shall be your wages. Then all the flock brought forth speckled. And if he spoke thus, the striped shall be your wages. Then all the flock brought forth striped. Thus God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me. So I don't think he's saying, it seems to me he's just saying God's the one that worked out details. I don't think he's saying God told me to use these striped things so that the flock would be produced that way.
You're right. Okay.
But the point that he's making is God's the one that worked it out. Marjorie?
I'm getting my information from an article in the Answers in Genesis that says Jacob's odd breeding program of Genesis 3.
Says what again?
Jacob's odd breeding program of Genesis 30.
Answers in Genesis, they still use this, I'm sorry, I'm arguing, go ahead. They still use this kind of cheap breeding today in those countries. By cutting the sticks and putting them into the water.
Seems
pretty superstitious to me, but anyway.
First 10 is what the dream is, though.
Pardon?
The article that Mom referenced, the first 10 is the dream that they referenced.
Okay, in verse 10 it says, and it came about at that time when the flock were mating that I lifted up my eyes, and I saw in a dream, and behold, the male goats which were mating were striped, speckled, and mottled. What that would tell me is more, they weren't actually that way. But in the dream he saw, in essence, he saw their genetic makeup. Okay? And there was another hand over here. Okay. Anyway, moving right along. Okay, so under N, N is Jacob's charge to return to the promised land. One is the circumstances surrounding the charge. A is the complaint of Laban's sons. The complaint of Laban's sons, so that's the initial thing. B, the change in Laban's attitude. S. Lewis Johnson wrote, no longer had his face wreathed in hypocritical smiles for Jacob. Dark looks had replaced the brightness of smiling teeth. And then three is the charge of God. His voice is not always easy to discern, but it is important to remember that it is his responsibility as the shepherd to make his will known to the sheep. If we are not sure of his leading, we are to wait until we are. He will make his way known and enable us to follow him in it. His voice is generally, although not always, corroborated by circumstances, and in this case, it was. So there's the negative input of Laban's sons and Laban, and then God directly speaks to him, is what he's referring to there. Number three is Jacob's consultation with his wives. So, verse 11 says, then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, and I said, here I am. He said, lift up now your eyes and see that all the male goats which are mating are striped, speckled, and mottled, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now arise, leave this land and return to the land of your birth. Rachel and Leah said to him, do we still have any portion or inheritance in our father's house? Are we not reckoned by him as foreigners? For he has sold us and has also entirely consumed our purchase price. So he's talking about all those years of service. Surely all the wealth which God has taken away from our father belongs to us and our children. Now then do whatever God has said to you. So Jacob's consultation with his wives. A is Jacob's testimony contrasting Laban's cheating and God's care. And then B is Rachel and Leah's response. Rachel and Leah's response. And then O is the flight of Jacob and the covenant of peace. Verse 17 says, then Jacob arose and put his children and his wives upon camels, and he drove away all his livestock and all his property which he had gathered, his acquired livestock which he had gathered in Paddan Aram to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. When Laban had gone to shear his flock, then Rachel stole the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not telling him that he was fleeing. So he fled with all that he had, and he arose and crossed the Euphrates River and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. So number one under O is Rachel steals the household idols. There's an article there from the Net Bible, note there. Since some translations merely transliterate the Hebrew teraphim, as teraphim, which apparently refers to household idols. Some contend that possession of these idols guaranteed the right of inheritance, but it is more likely that they were viewed simply as protective deities.
How protective can they be if they can be stolen?
Well, this is idolatry. I mean, why would you go out and cut a tree down and use some for firewood and make a god out of the rest of it? That doesn't make any sense, does it?
Why was it so important for Jacob to take a wife from these guys when Laban and company seemed hardly better than any of the Canaanites?
Because eventually God's going to wipe out the Canaanites. And it would be a little bit difficult to say, oh, my mother was a Canaanite, and all of my cousins were half Canaanites. That's the reason.
But that doesn't happen for hundreds of years.
I know, but still, look at how these generations just keep going and going and going. Luke?
What did you
blame for O? O is flight. The flight of Jacob in the covenant of peace. And then number two is Jacob steals the heart of Laban. In verse 20, it says, the Hebrew stole the heart of is an expression which apparently means to deceive. The repetition of the verb to steal shows that Jacob and Rachel are kindred spirits. Any thought that Laban would have resigned himself to their departure was now out of the question. So Jacob deceived Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him he was leaving. So he fled with all that he had, and he arose and crossed the Euphrates River and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. Verse 22, when it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, then he took his kinsmen with him and pursued him a distance of 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the hill country of Gilead. God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream of the night and said to him, be careful that you do not speak to Jacob either good or bad. Laban caught up with Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country, and Laban was with his kinsmen camped in the hill country. Then Laban said to Jacob, what have you done by deceiving me and carrying away my daughters like captives of the sword? Why did you flee secretly and deceive me and did not tell me so that I might have sent you away with joy and with songs, with timbrel and with lyre, and did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Now you have done foolishly. It is in my power to do you harm, but the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful not to speak either good or bad to Jacob. Now you have indeed gone away because you have longed greatly for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? Then Jacob replied to Laban, because I was afraid, for I thought that you would take your daughters from me by force. The one with whom you find your gods shall not live. You notice how presumptuous these people always are? Just off with their heads when you find those idols. Okay? The one with whom you find your God shall not live. In the presence of our kinsmen, point out what is yours among my belongings and take it for yourself. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. So Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent and into the tent of the two maids, but he did not find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols and put them in the camel's saddle, and she sat on them, and Laban felt through all the tent, but did not find them. She said to her father, let my Lord be angry that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is upon me. So he searched, but did not find the household idols. Then Jacob became angry and contended with Laban. And Jacob said to Laban, what is my transgression? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? Though you have felt through all my goods and what you have found of all your household goods, set it here before my, so now he gets super sarcastic. So set it here before my kinsmen and your kinsmen that they may be decide between us. These 20 years, I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten the rams of your flocks. That which was torn of beast I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it myself. You required it of my hand, whether it's stolen by day or stolen by night. So it gives you a good idea of what it meant to be a shepherd in this culture. Okay. Thus I was by day, the heat consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, had not been for me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the toil of my hands, so he rendered judgment last night. So then they end up entering into a covenant relationship about they're not going to come after each other and that kind of a thing. Then Laban replied to Jacob, the daughters are my daughters, the children my children, the flocks my flocks, and all that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters or to their children whom they have born? So come now, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be witnessed between you and me. Then Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Jacob said to his kinsmen, gather stones. So they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there by the heap. Now Laban called it Jegers Sahadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day. Therefore it was named Galeed and Mizpah. For he said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. If you mistreat my daughters, or if you take wives besides my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me. Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, and behold the pillar which I have set between you and me. This heap is a witness, and the pillar is a witness, that I will not pass by this heap to you for harm, and you will not pass by this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Jacob, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. So Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice in the mountain, called his kinsmen to the meal, and they ate the meal and spent the night at the mountain. Early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. So number three was Laban pursues Jacob. Number four, the covenant of peace. S. Lewis Johnson, the quote at the top of page 47. How beautiful is the divine providential care over this often rebellious and sinful servant. He loves his own, not as we so falsely tell little children, because we are good, but to make us so by his grace. Some of you, on the exam, it says the basis of Abraham's choice by God. I can't remember exactly how. Here's an exam right here. The basis of Abraham's call was grace. Okay? That's true. It wasn't something God saw in Abraham that caused him to choose Abraham. It was solely based on God's grace. Is the point of that. Okay, remember, here's this guy who grew up in a polytheistic background, and God graciously chose him. So he doesn't take good people, he doesn't choose good people, but he makes bad people good by his grace. is the point. Okay, P is Jacob's encouragement at Mahanaim. Jacob's encouragement at Mahanaim. Verses 1 and 2. Now as Jacob went on his way, the angels of God met him. Jacob said when he saw them, so who does he see?
Angels.
When he saw them, Jacob said when he saw them, this is God's camp. So he named the place Mahanaim. Mahanaim means two camps. So Jacob has his camp, all of his wives and children and all the flocks and servants and all that stuff. That's his camp. But then God allows him to see an angelic camp that's going along with him on this journey. So Jacob names that place two camps because there's the angelic camp and there's his camp. Look at 2 Kings. Chapter 6, starting with verse 8. It says, now the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there. The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel? So he thinks there's a spy. Okay. One of his servants said, no, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and take him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. He sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, so this is Elisha's servant, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city, and his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people with blindness, I pray. So he struck them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. So here in this situation, this army comes after Elisha, and his servant's freaking out. We're doomed. And then Elisha says, Lord, let him see the other army that's out there, the angelic army. That's the same kind of a situation that Jacob experiences when he's on his way back to the promised land, because who's on his mind on his way back to the promised land? Esau. So God encourages him with this vision. Look at Hebrews 1:14. This is what it says about angels for us. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? And then Revelation 19:19. Or verse 10, not 19. So this is, an angel appears to John, and it says, then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So there's still angelic presence around us today. Okay. We just haven't been privileged to see it like some of these Old Testament saints. Okay, back in the notes, underneath P it says, leaving Laban was probably a pleasing experience for Jacob, but in the land where he was going awaited Esau, who 20 years earlier was consoling himself with the thought of Jacob's murder. Just as God had comforted Jacob on his lonely journey from the land by sending the dream of Jacob's ladder, so he sends his messenger to comfort and encourage Jacob on his return to the land. The text uses similar terminology to remind us of the Jacob's ladder event. The expression angels of God occurs only here and 28:12 in the Old Testament. So that particular, that unique expression. Jacob names the place two camps as he evidently sees his own camp and God's angelic camp surrounding it protectively to assure Jacob that God is with him on his return to the land. Then in Q, the letter Q is Jacob at Jabbok, J-A-B-B-O-K, Israel at Peniel. P-E-N-I-E-L. Jacob at Jabbok, Israel at Peniel. And then number one is Jacob's preparation for meeting Esau. So we'll read the verses 3-8 to start off. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He also commanded them, saying, thus you shall say to my lord, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight. Excuse me. The messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau, and furthermore, he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. So what do you think Jacob's thinking? This is it. 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies. For he said, if Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the company which is left will escape. So A, under preparation, is just the sending of the messengers. So he sends these messengers with all these gifts for Esau. B is the panic of Jacob. Yeah, Leopold wrote, the courage engendered by the vision of the angels is dissipated. The exaltation of faith gives way to the agony of despair as soon as the stern reality of Esau's coming with 400 men is encountered. And then in 9 and 10 is the prayer of Jacob. So C is the prayer of Jacob. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your relatives, and I will prosper you. I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. For with my staff only I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. There's a quote there from Ross. He says, the prayer has the initial address and reminder of the promises. God expects people to pray by reminding him of his word, a motivation to faith. Verse 10 includes a confession of unworthiness. This shows he has the correct posture of prayer, total dependency on God. The petition proper comes next, in which he asks to be delivered because he is scared to death. Finally, he repeats the promise of God to him. All this should have been enough to build his confidence, but his guilt and fear completely controlled him at this point. So verse 11 says, continues the prayer, deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him that he will come and attack me and the mothers with the children. For you said, I will surely prosper you and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which is too great to be numbered. So he spent the night there. Then he selected from what he had with him a present for his brother Esau, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams.
Thomas is really not doing well. That's all right.
Yeah, you can go.
Okay.
Okay, so he appeals to the promises that God made, and then he sends all these gifts ahead. 30 milking camels and their colts, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, 10 male donkeys. He delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, pass on before me and put a space between droves. He commanded the one in front, saying, when my brother Esau meets you and asks you, saying, to whom do you belong and where are you going and to whom do these animals in front of you belong? Then you shall say, these belong to your servant Jacob. It is a present sent to my lord Esau, and behold, he is also behind us. Then he commanded also the second and the third and all those who followed the drove, saying, after this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him, and you shall say, behold, your servant Jacob also is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me. Then afterward I will see his face, perhaps he will accept me. So the present passed on before him while he himself spent the night in the camp. Now he arose in that same night and took his wives and his two maids and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and he sent across whatever he had. And we're going to stop there because we don't have time to get into the rest of that anyway. Under D, though, the sending of the gifts. One, the extent of the gift, 580 animals, shows that Jacob must have been extremely wealthy in order to afford such a gift as this. Two, the point of the gifts is to appease Esau and be accepted by him. So that's where we will stop. Any comments or questions before we leave?
What was 1A?
1A is sending, the sending of the messengers. Remember, today's prayer groups.